Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And our Heavenly Father, even now as we close this marvelous passage, we pray for all saints everywhere who are fearlessly proclaiming the Word of God, in chains and out of chains, in good times and bad times, in glad times and sad times, whatever the circumstances may be, abounding or abased, rich or poor, for those saints that are proclaiming the Word of God, we pray that your mighty power might be upon them, and that the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, would take lodging in thousands and even millions of human hearts as a result, and that the word of the Lord might cover the earth as the waters cover the sea in these last days before you come. And I pray, Lord, that in this congregation today, you might make yourself known, that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be clear, that the challenge of the Word of God might be strong, that we might be your people. Amen. Amen. There is a warfare. It is primarily a warfare between God and the devil. We just happen to be caught up in it. We just happen to be the battleground. Our realm of existence is the battlefield. But the warfare is between God and the devil. The conflict involves those two personalities. Sometimes we feel like helpless pawns. Sometimes we cannot understand where the front lines are. Sometimes it's unclear to us just exactly what is going on. But make no mistake about it, it's a real conflict, and how you fit into that conflict is of utmost importance, not only to you, but unto a great many others. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained wisdom because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. The sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And yet there was another who did not agree with the excellency of the name of God. We do not understand it, and certainly we will never know the fullest of it until that day when we meet him face to face and in some moment or other are able to ask him personally really what it was all about. But there is another, a very certain person, a very certain personality. And those psychologists, those psychiatrists, those professors of learning in every discipline, those theologians and preachers, on and on and on in our present day, have refuted this personality and have dismissed him with the word superstition or a figment of the imagination. I tell you that upon the authority of God's word, I know that there is a devil, a personal devil, a personality so strong, so diabolical, so powerful, so filled with himself and with authority that he has been given, that no human being, no amount of organization of the flesh or of human nature can ever stand against him. And I don't care what you call him, old Scratch, old Harry, old Snake, old Serpent, father of lies, murderer, whatever you want to call him. He's very real. And his greatest triumph is in making you think that he's not real and that he is not a personality and that he is not in operation today. And most of mankind this day is under his power and do not know it. The whole world, John says in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in the hands of the wicked one. And if you don't believe it, he's got you right where he wants you. And if you don't think he's more powerful than you, he has truly succeeded in his masquerade. For that's what the Bible is talking about when it says he is transformed, as the Apostle Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, for he is transformed, as it were, into an angel of light. And that word transform means masquerade. He puts on masks. He projects himself in various ways to hide his true personality and to conceal himself. He, in his role as the prince of the power of the air, as the God of this world, is very, very deceptive. For Jesus said, he is the father of lies. From him lies spring. And the first lie that was ever told came from his urging. And the first disobedience that ever occurred came because he lied. And he'll continue to lie. And he is even in his overweening pride lying to himself even now, for he knows that his doom is sure, and yet he lies to himself and tells himself that it is not sure. And therefore he can go on in his diabolical onslaught because of his overweening pride. And the Bible is full of how he operates. It shows that he appeals to the pride. It shows that he appeals to the appetite. It shows that he appeals to the emotions. It's always something that is temporal. It is never lasting. A little feeling, a little zing, a little rush, a little of the forbidden fruit syndrome is what he operates with. As one person said, hell, he'll meet your price. Yeah, but for that price, you get hell. You demand a million? He'll give you a million. What's that to him? You demand your name in lights? He'll put your name in lights. What's that to him? He can appear as an angel of light. What's a little marquee to him? You demand a kingdom? He'll give you a kingdom. But the average man, the average run-of-the-mill forked creature that we are, we sell out for about $37.50. Yeah, that's right. We sell our souls for baubles, for trinkets, for feelings, for a few moldy crumbs. We grovel at the feet of Lucifer, son of the morning. That one who five times said, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High, I will be as God, yet whom God said, you will not. To that one, we bow. And this world is a slave to the devil and of hell to this very moment. And the world system is subject to him. And world powers are subject to him. And rulers are subject to him. And you don't have to go to an atheistic, godless society such as Russia to find wickedness in high places and rulers who rule by the power of Satan. Satan is real. He's real. And he'll run your life. And he'll rule you from the shadows. And he'll pull those strings that'll make you dance like a puppet if you give him an inch. And that's what Paul is talking about in this chapter. That there is a conflict between the devil and God. And that the whole winning of that conflict is based on your understanding that the conflict is and of aligning with the one who overcame him at Calvary's cross The one who rolled back that tomb so that the world could see that it was empty. The one who got up on high and triumphed over that old snake openly. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, for the masquerades of the devil are real and they are subtle. And he is cunning and he is diabolical and he is strong and he's smarter by far than you and a better student of the Bible. He knows every verse of it and can read a lot better than you can. And he's faster than you, even though one of Murphy's laws, I think, says that you can get anywhere in the world in 15 minutes if you just drive fast enough. The devil can get there quicker, and he can be there before you get there, and he can have the trap set, and no amount of appealing to your strength or your resolve or your courage will allow you to stand against him. And that's what Paul is saying. There's only one answer. There's only one hope. And if you don't avail yourself of that hope, if you don't get that answer, if you don't line up with that side, you hadn't got the chance of a snowball in hell. You're gone before you know it. You've already been had. Well, what about God's power? Who is God? What kind of power does He have? Well, this book, nature around us, all speak to the power of God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth, the Scripture says. Imagine! Even though David could not reach the sublime level of what it takes to describe how God created it all, he said by the breath of His mouth, it all appeared. But the Word, that which is, came from that which is not. And God spoke it. He said it. And it's here. How great is He? I don't know. Moses wanted to know how great He was. Moses wanted to see His face. And he said, no, Mo, I can't let you see my face. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you here in the cleft of the rock. And I'll put my hand over it. And I'll pass by. And I'll let you take a look at my hindside. And just one look at his backside was enough to put a spark in that old man's life that never diminished, never went out. For 40 years, it kept him going when everything else was against him. For 40 years, it kept him true. For 40 years, a man who didn't start till he was 80. Wrought righteousness, conquered kingdoms, and lived for God just because he'd seen his backside. Job contended with him. And Job did everything but call him a cuss word. And he almost did that because of the straits of his circumstances. His feeble, fickle counselors tried to entice him into cursing God and dying. His weak-willed wife wanted him to give up and give up God, and he almost did. And they brought every accusation that was possible against the living God, and yet when God answered, it was obvious where the power lay. Where were you, God says, when those stars were put out there? Where were you when this cosmos was put on its course? Can you, by any means, explain to me what happens when a hawk glides through the air? Can you tell me what is the source of the stamping of the feet of a horse as he prepares to go into battle? If you can't tell me those things about the cry of a baby, if you can't tell me about the birth of a child, if you can't tell me about the rushing of the wind and the rippling of the water, how dare you imagine that you can even explain what power is? And David, who had fought many a battle and who had gone up against that 10-foot giant with nothing but a few rocks and a leather thong, said, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath wrought in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the spear and the bow asunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." When Elijah and his little show went up on Mount Carmel and called down fire from heaven, and that sacrifice was licked up and all the water in the trenches around it, and those 400 prophets of Baal and those other 400 were caught and their throats were slit to show that there was no such thing as the power of Baal, but that God was the supreme power. That was just the beginning, and God took him over there on Mount Horeb and he put him in a cave after he'd run for his life. And it caused a mighty rushing of wind, a wind so strong that the rocks began to roll from their places upon the mountains. The wind blew the trees down, and the earth shook, and the earthquake came. And then there was a fire. But God was not in any of those things that we can imagine or that we can see or that we can hear or that we can touch or that we can taste or we can feel. No. He said there was a still, small voice. Just a voice. A whisper. Just a whisper. God was in that whisper. I don't know whether I can explain to you the power of God or not. Jesus said, on that day that he stood with his disciples outside of Jerusalem just before he went back into glory, and said, "All power in heaven and earth is given to me." Well, what's he talking about? What kind of power is he talking about? Was it just an idle boast? Like my son James, it says, "My daddy can do anything." Now you know, and I know, that I can't do everything. Don't you? I do. I can do some things. I can fix a bicycle. I can pump up a football. I can catch a fish. I can carpenter a little. Plumb a little. Fix a little here, help a little there, but I can't do everything. Was it an idle boast that Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given to me"? Are there some things that God cannot do? Yeah. There are. There's some things that God can't do. Do you ever think about that? And this is not one of those trick questions that some dimbo would spring on you if you're trying to share with him the love of God when he says, is God so big that he can make a rock that God can't lift it? How dumb. But there's some things that God can't do. You know what they are? One of them is that God cannot overlook sin. God cannot overlook sin. God cannot dismiss sin. He cannot sweep it under the rug. He cannot, like a Louisiana judge who's been corrupted, take a bribe under the table to look the other way. He cannot overlook sin. For the Bible says, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account unto him on the day of judgment. Every thought you think, every word you say will be called into account someday. The recording angel has plenty of tape, and he's got the button on record, and everything will be there. And don't you forget it. And God will not overlook the least of them. He won't say, oh, well, that was just a little white lie. Oh, he won't say, well, that was just a little explosion of the temper. He won't say, well, I just can't control myself. He won't say, well, I'll do better next time. We'll be good enough. No, sir. For on that day, God, the Almighty God, will bring every sin, every transgression, every iniquity, every disobedience, every failure to do that which is good into account. And you better believe it. God said, the wages of sin is death. And he wasn't just whistling Dixie when he said it. He meant it. But he cannot overlook sin. It must be judged. Thank God that Jesus Christ took the judgment. Thank God that Jesus Christ paid for every sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed. When he died on Calvary's cross, he paid for every lie that came from that father of lies. He paid for every murder that came from that murderer. He paid for every disobedience that came from that one who thought up disobedience. He paid for that first fall, which amounted to the second fall, which amounted to the fall of us all. And if you don't avail yourself of the payment of Jesus Christ for your sins, you're on your own. And I want to tell you, and you've been warned, that God cannot overlook sin. Because he is just, he will accept the proper payment. And the payment has been made, the blood of Jesus Christ. But he won't take a bribe. He won't look the other way. Secondly, God cannot penetrate an unrepentant heart. No, he can't. He is a perfect gentleman, and he has never forced entry into any human heart that has not first invited him. God will not, no, he will not save nor deliver that which does not want to be saved or delivered. God has placed the cross of Jesus Christ squarely at the mouth of hell. And with the hot tears of love streaming down his cheeks, he has said to a lost and dying world, go back, I love you. But he will not force himself upon those who say, we do not want that man to rule over us. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoned them that were sent unto thee. How oft I would have gathered you as a hen does gather her chicks under her wings, and you would not. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are people sitting in this congregation this morning, much to my sadness, who are stealing their will, who are hardening their necks, who are bowing their backs to God, and who will not repent. And therefore, God cannot penetrate their hearts. And thirdly, God cannot answer the prayer of an unbeliever. Oh, yeah. You say, well, I thought God hears everything. I thought God is in everywhere. I thought God was in every place beholding the evil and the good. He is. But He has, by His very nature and by His declaration and by all that He is, He has attested to the fact that He cannot and will not hear the prayer of an unbeliever. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. And those are the things that God cannot do. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Everything else, He not only can, but has done. Everything else, He has the power to do. Everything else, He will do for those who would tap His mighty power. Well, how do you tap it? How do you see it? How do you get it? Well, I'll tell you this. It's not from coming to church. It's not from lighting a candle. It's not from trying to bribe Him with a tithe or an offering. It's not from rubbing some dashboard Jesus and saying, oh God, be with me on this trip or this business venture. It's not calling some toll-free number and saying, if you'll pray for me, I know everything will be successful. Let me tell you something. The all-powerful, almighty God may need to crater that venture you're on just so He can get your attention, so He can get you where He wants you, so He can make your heart soft, so He can have His way in your life. Where is God's power most evident? Well, I think it was evident, Peter's mama would say, well, when He touched me. And she got up and served for the rest of her life. And I guess that little girl would say, well, it's when He said, Talitha kumi, or maid, arise. And somehow, out of that swirl of darkness and that awfulness, that blackness that I was in, a light shone. And my senses returned and I was able to get up and live and be alive. I guess somebody else, maybe Lazarus or Mary or Martha might say, the power of God was the greatest when one of those hot tears rolled from Jesus' eyes as He stood at the grave of Lazarus. Another person might say His power was most evident when He was asleep on that pillow in the stern of the ship. That prostitute might say His power was most evident when He did nothing, when I washed His feet with my tears and dried them with my hair. And Peter might say, instead of when He walked on the water or when He rose from the grave, Peter might say it was when He looked at me there by that fire as they were dragging him out, when he looked at me, when he looked at me in the eye, just after I'd said I never knew him, just after I'd cursed with an oath and said, I don't know him, just that look, that was the power of God. And I'm going to tell you that the power of God can be in your life to its fullest. Not if you'll make a vow. Not if you'll walk the aisle. Not if you'll sign the registry. Not if you'll be baptized. Not if you get some experience in your life. Not if you give your money. Not if you have a regular attendance pin. Not if you wave the banner of Jesus over your business or over your home or wherever you are. But you'll know the power of God if you'll put your pork chop licking face in the dirt and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh God, the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you'll dwell in His book, if you'll talk to Him in simple, contrite, humble prayer in your own closet when nobody's looking and nobody knows, I'm going to tell you something, my friends. The power of God will begin to rest upon you and your life will count for God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that You'd make us to understand and help us to recognize the sneer and the subtle, sneaky ways of the devil. More than that, God, help us, oh God, to understand who You are and where the power lies. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if you're here this morning, apart from God, apart from heaven, heading for hell, under the domination and captivation of the devil. If you couldn't tell me this moment that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven and you know it, then you're the one I'm talking to. Oh, I just plead with you and beg you to listen for just a moment. God loves you. And He wants you to know Him forever. And He wants to give His power to you. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants you to be a member of His forever family. But in order to do that, you must turn to Him. You must say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You and You only. I'm lost and I'm undone. And I want to turn to You. I want to accept Your forgiveness. I want You to be my Savior and my Lord. And if you could pray that prayer, you pray it right now. And if you are a Christian and if you've been selling out to the devil, if you've been sucked up in the world system, if you've sold your soul for a bowl of chili or a bag of baubles, I ask you right now to pray a prayer that would go something like this. God, forgive me. Help me to know You. Help me to live for You. And help me this week to take the step to change that item in my business or where I work or in my home that will allow You to be God in my life and hence overcome the devil. That's our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.